Mark chapter number 5, for some reason, is kind of one of those chapters in early on in my Christian life that kind of just stuck out. I don't know how long ago it was, but when you say Mark chapter number 5, my mind automatically clicks to this story here in Mark chapter number 5. And it's the story of the demonic man that the Lord changed his life. Amen. It's probably one of the greatest visible changes in a person's life found in the entire Word of God. Where a man's life was far out on this side of the spectrum to meet the Lord, to be brought completely over here to this side of the spectrum. It's probably one of the most visible changes in the entire Bible with lives are concerned. I'm glad the Lord made a change in my life. Amen. I know if you're saved, you're glad He made a change in your life. Mark chapter number 5, we'll read the first 20 verses here, amen, and we'll preach to you what we believe will be the Lord's will today. Some of you today will hear a rerun, amen. I know my family will. Mark chapter number 5, but they say they hear reruns all the time, so they ain't nothing new to them. So if they take a nap, just overlook them, amen, and roll on. Mark chapter number 5, the rest of you have no right to take a nap. They don't either, amen, it's just a joke. Mark chapter 5. We was out in Tennessee, 2 weeks ago on vacation. Preached for that guy over there. Great to have my family, our whole family there, amen. Tim's new family member, good to see them today with us, amen. I don't know if Brother Bobby Utley's going to be too pleased with me, them skipping church to come here today. But he knows what's going on. They try to make it here the last Sunday of the month and then the middle Wednesday of the month. And I appreciate that, amen. Brother Bobby understands that. And so Katie said, we got mission conference next Sunday, and she wanted to hear Daddy preach. I said, well, you never wanted to hear me preach when you was here. Why are you going to come now? So I don't know. We'll figure that one out later, amen. Mark chapter number 5. But we was out on vacation, and the guy kind of told about the subject over there in Peter, and he was talking about those fallen angels and false prophets and demonic spirits. And he made a comment, and he said, you know what you read over in the gospel accounts when the Lord Jesus Christ was walking on earth, and you see all these devil possessions. Mark chapter number 5 is one of them, amen, where this man's got a devil. You know, people say demon possession, whatever. The King James Bible word is devil possession or devils, amen, that was in them. And you see, in Mark chapter 5, we'll read the account of what happened when he was devil possessed. And he made the comment, he said, what happened to these people? When the Lord was here, they were here. Are they still here today? Are people still devil possessed today? And I would say, yes, they are. It might be manifest in a little different light than it was completely in this passage here. In some cases, you will even see it at this extreme. But the devil is still alive and well. We don't want to brag on the devil too much today and give him a lot of credit, but he is still possessing people's lives. People are devil possessed. And you can see it by some of the influences of what the devil's possessed people in the Bible. And you can see those same characteristics played out in people's lives today. I believe a lot of times we're doing today, we're justifying it with some kind of scientific unbalance and things of that nature. But in a lot of cases, people have just flat out got devils. Amen. They have devils. And if you look at the extreme downfall of human race and our society today, a lot of that can be contributed to the fact the devils that is in people's lives. Your flesh can be devil possessed. Amen. Mark chapter number 5, and in some cases in God's people, amen, their flesh is being possessed by devils. And it's not popular preaching for people today, but when you got saved, your flesh didn't get saved. And that's the realm the devil works in, to try to influence the other things. Amen. Man is a body, soul, and a spirit. But Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over into the other side of the sea. And there's a great picture here in chapter 4 where the Lord told the disciples to get in the ship and pass over to the other side. And there was a man in need on the other side. And there's still truth today. There's people on this side that still need help. Amen. We need to get into ship with Jesus and go to help these people that are in need. Amen. There's people in need in our church. There's people in need in our community. There's people in need outside of our community. There's people in need in our country and in countries abroad. That's what missions is all about heading up the next week. And it's all about trying to take that gospel to the world. Starting with our own family and spreading it abroad out. Amen. And so Jesus told them, let's get in the ship and go to the other side. And if there's one thing we need to get back to doing, it's taking the gospel to a lost and a dying world. And so they did. And passed over the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he had saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Kind of like doesn't even go together. Here's a man crazed by unclean spirits in the tombs, crying and cutting himself, busting literal chains asunder because that strength that he had from that demonic spirits, and no man could bind him or tame him. And when he sees Jesus, he runs and falls at his feet and worships him. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. There's one that can cast it out, amen. There's one that's able to control these evil spirits. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. It's kind of like, you know, you read the story here. This man has many devils in him. It's like there's one head devil. And the head devil speaks out and says, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee that thou torment me not. See, it's singular. Verse 8, and he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Speaking directly to the spirit that's influencing that man. Look at this. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. It's like the one head devil speaking for all the devils that's in this guy. Look at how it goes on, verse 10. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him. So it went from the head devil speaking to all the devils saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd went violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Do you know there's one thing about these devils want to do? They want to destroy you. They want to. You know what they wanted to do with this guy? They wanted to destroy this guy. And they had him out there in his tombs. They had him out there cutting himself and crying and tormenting him. And the ultimate goal for the devil was to destroy that man. The devil comes to seek and to destroy. That's what he comes to do. He don't come to play fair. And as soon as the devils get out of this man, they go in these swine, they do exactly what they wanted to do to this guy. Lead him down and destroy him. Drowning him in the sea. That's why it's dangerous to play with the devil and his spirits. Verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Do you know in the beginning of the story when this guy has these devils, he's out there carrying on in so much a devilish fashion that is never mentioned that anybody was afraid? The only time it's mentioned that they were afraid is when this guy that was out there cutting himself and crying and tormenting everybody else is when he was seated and clothed in his right mind. Then they scared of him. Ain't it amazing you out there lost and living like the devil and living like hell. Everybody just goes along with it. We joke and carry on and have a good time with one another. You get saved and people act like you got some kind of devil then. And they're afraid of you now that you got your right mind. And you put your clothes on. And you're sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now they think you got something wrong. Maybe get to check you out, see if you got mentally unbalanced somehow. Right. Nobody thought that when you was out there living like hell and smoking dope and drinking liquor and carrying on like you did and cussing everything. Right. Now they're afraid. Verse 16, and they that saw it told them how that befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that was had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Amen. Brother Johnny Peel, how about pray for us, brother? Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help your people. Yes, yes. Meet the needs. Oh, God help us, yes. Yes, thank you, Lord. Amen. As we said, this is one of the greatest visible changes in a person's life in the Bible. We see in this passage, by way of introduction, we see the before Christ and the after Christ in his life. There are two different spectrums, as we've said. We see, by the way of introduction, before Christ, we see this man that is with an unclean spirit, verse 2 and 3. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him with a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. He was unclean. He had an attraction for the evil world. You ever seen people that's got a devil in them? They got an attraction for the evil world. He's out in the tombs. He's out with dead things. He's playing around with wicked things that's out there in the evil, unclean world. They got a devil in them, amen. They're attracted to Ouija boards and witchcraft and horror movies and the garbage of that type of society. That's way out there that you got no business messing with. That's a realm out there in the world you better stay away from it, amen. And people get that kind of way, they get that godly spirit, and they get that black thing in their body. You don't want to sterilize people, I understand that, amen. But it starts to influence their lives, amen. It's an unclean spirit. It's an evil world. They start poking and piercing and holes and markings. It's way out there today in a world that you got no business messing around with. Amen. There's a spirit world out there that you better stay away from. He has an unclean spirit. He's attracted to the evil world. Something out there in the supernatural that he's looking and longing after. That just kind of, he craves after. Why? Because he's got an unclean spirit. He was unclean. He was out of the unclean. He was untamable. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, verse 3 and 4. He had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. Fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was unclean, but he was untamable, amen. Hey, rehabs couldn't change him. Hey, righteous people couldn't influence him in the right way. Hey, religion couldn't change his life. Nothing that you do could make this guy change from the shape he was in. You ever seen people like that? They got a devil, amen. They're entertaining the evil world. They got unclean spirits, but they're untamable. Your cries don't affect them. You shed the tears. You prayed the prayers. You try to influence them. They try rehabs with them, but they're stone faced. Like Brother James said this morning, they got their eyes are empty. Nobody's home, man. You ever seen people like that? They got devils, is what they got. Amen. Thank God there's a God in heaven that can make a change, though. Amen. He was unclean. He was untamable. Rehabs, religious activities, amen. Nothing could change this guy. He was out there in that world. He was unstable. Now look what the Bible says in verses number 5. He was unstable. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains. He was unstable. Amen. His sleep was messed up. You know, sometimes you think nothing about nothing of that nature, and sometimes it's just because of your body kind of reacting to different things that you're going through. But this guy, always night and day, he was in the mountains. You didn't know if you'd see him at 12, 2 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon. You know, if he'd sleep all day and then stay up all night. Or he'd stay up or sleep all night and then be up all day. It's just flip-flop. You ever seen people like that? It's just kind of crazy, man. They run around at Walmart at 3 in the morning just wide awake like these zombies out there. There's something wrong, man. Your sleep's all messed up. Well, you know, we got a generation today that don't want to get up at like 1 o'clock. And where can you sleep all day like that? There's something wrong, amen. Hey, maybe these video games in that world you're playing when that has got you, but you better stay awake from that kind of stuff, man. This guy's always night and day. He was just unstable in his life, amen. There was nothing stable. There was nothing stability. There was no structure in his life. He had a devil in him is what he had. It's a devilish thing, man. I'm telling you, the devil get in your life. You can't get up in the morning and function. Amen. You can't go to bed at night and you can't sleep. It's just crazy stuff, man. It's the devil out there in this world. And I'm not saying every situation's like that. People have things when they get older they go through in their life. But I'm talking about for the majority part. This is what it's showing here. This man's out in the mountains either in the morning or at night. You didn't know whether he was coming or going. He was unstable because he had a devil in him. Maybe that's some of the influence on your life. I don't know. But he was unstable. He was untamable. He was unclean. He was just flat out uncontrollable. The Bible said in verse number 5, and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. That unclean spirit, that untamable spirit, that instability in his life, but led to him being uncontrollable. He's crying uncontrollably. Just for no reason, man. Just bust out. Tears flowing. Devilish influences on your life. You got there playing with that kind of junk, and I don't know how it enters in, either through the eye gate that you put before your eyes, the things you listen to, the music, and that spirit, it starts to affect your life. You know how it works. And you start to putting stuff in your mouth you got no business putting in your mouth. Hey, putting it under your tongue, smoking it up, whatever you do, and you start playing about that demonic world, and nobody contain you. You're not uncontrollable. You're unstable. Amen. You're just flat out of control. You're just liable to bust out and cry and start laughing. Nobody can know. It's like you got a devil, amen. He's out there cutting himself, afflicting injury to his own self. Why? There's a devil in his eyes, and it's trying to destroy you, and it's using you to destroy your own self. You got a world of people out there like that. It's crazy, man. It's a devilish influence, amen. He's uncontrollable, crying and cutting and running around naked. He's dispersed and discouraged. There's just no hope in his life. And the devil just jumped on him. When you get like that, you better run to Jesus. You better fall at the feet of Jesus and give you that control back in your life, that stability back in your life, and get that unclean spirit out of you that's trying to ruin your life. It's the devil. He's unchangeable. Nobody could change him. Just as nobody can tame him. Amen. He was unchangeable. Look at the Bible says in verse number 6. And when he saw Jesus, he afar off, he ran and worshiped him. You know what I know about this guy? When you get a devil like that, and I've seen about people like that, they know what they ought to be doing, and they just flat out won't do it. I mean, this guy ran and worshiped Jesus. He knew what he ought to have been doing. And when people get a devil like that, you ever sit around and listen to people talk and observe what's going on? They know what's right, but you know what they'll tell you? I know that, but I ain't doing it. That's a devil, man. I know what the Word of God says, but I don't care. There's a devil going on. He knew we ought to be in worship of the Lord. He knew what was right, but He simply would not do it. You know what's going on in your life when you get like that? You got a devil. Well, I know I ought not to be doing this, but what happens? I'm back to doing it again. Well, I know I ought not to be popping them pills, but I'm going to do it. Well, I know I ought not to be drinking and carrying on, but I'm going to do it. Why? Because there's something influencing your life. There's a devil in your life. And if you don't soon get it out, it's going to destroy your life.
Amen.
He was unchangeable.
Amen.
No tears, no affection, no outreach. Nothing can do anything to his life. Grandparents couldn't change him. His spouse, if he had one. His children, if he had some. Nobody could change him. He had a devil in his life. But one day he met Jesus. One day the Lord came by. Hey, you remember when you was influenced by that unclean spirit? You were untamable, amen, unstable in your life, had no structure in your life, unchangeable. But one day the Lord passed by. Thank God He's still passing by, amen. Before Christ it was completely different than after Christ. In verse 15 the Bible said He's seated. He's clothed. He's in His right mind. Boy, I'm glad one day God came by and seated me, clothed me, and put me in my right mind. You ever look back at your old life and think, what in the world was I thinking? What in the world was possessing me to do some of the stuff I was doing? You know what it was? It was the devil is what it was. Has influencing us to do that mess and dress that way and listen to that mess and go those places and do those things. But thank God He can seat you and put you in your right mind. Amen. He's clothed and in His right mind. In verse number 19 and 18. 19 and 20, you'll see that He has a desire to follow Jesus. He's not only seated, He's not only clothed, He's not only in His right mind. He says, hey, I beg thee that I go with you. And the Lord said, no, don't go with me. Go back and tell your family. So fifthly, we see He was willing to witness. But He made a change. I want to preach to you on this thought this morning. Things that will change your life. Things that I know that could change your life, that I know they have changed my life. Does that mean I won't even be influenced by a devil never again in my life? It does not mean that. That devil's going to try to seek whom he can devour. He's going to do all he can to try to destroy your life. He's going to do all he can to try to pull you back to that side. Amen. Hey, but I'm telling you, if you take these things I'm giving you, they're a very simple right plate high. Amen. It can change your life and give you the help to overcome the devils that you're facing every day. Number one, you know what I know will change your life? Salvation.
Amen.
You know what's wrong with some people? They just need to get saved. They just need to be born again. I believe some people's just lost. I believe in some case, now I'm not trying to retread you, get you all saved over again, man. If I can talk you out of it, it's probably a good case you ain't got it. Amen. But I'm telling you something this morning. What will change your life is salvation. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ.
Amen.
He's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Has a complete change from this spectrum to that spectrum. Hey, I'm in Christ. I'm not talking about being in church. I'm not talking about being in baptism or waters. I'm not talking about being in good fellowship with my parents or other people at church. I'm talking about being in Christ. It'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 7 and 25, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him. Old timers say He saved you from the uttermost to the guttermost. It don't matter where you've been, He can save you. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalms 40, here I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. You remember that day you cried out to the Lord? I don't know exactly what I said. Man, I didn't even know how to pray. But I know I cried out that morning. Amen. And I knew I wanted to change. He heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. Set my feet on a solid rock. And established my goal. Put a new song into my mouth. Even praises to my God. Amen. Salvation will change your life. Some people just need to get saved, man. Some people are just lost. They never been brought up by that horrible pit. You remember the pit you was in? Of despair and misery and woe is me. And one day He heard your cry and reached down in that horrible pit and set your feet on that solid rock. And that rock is Jesus and changed your life forever.
Amen.
You know what the Bible says over there in Psalms 40, if you go back and read it? He brought him up by that horrible pit and set his feet on the rock. And many shall see it. And you know what the next verse says? You wouldn't think it. Next part of that verse. And fear. That's exactly what happened with that guy. Many shall see it and fear. There's something about a life of a changed individual that brings fear to people that don't know God. You know why it brings fear? Because it condemns them.
Amen.
Maybe they ain't got what you're talking about. A holy change of God. It'll change your life. That's what salvation will do. It'll make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not the same man. I've been born again. I know what God's done for me. And salvation will change your life. Some people just need to get born again. Need to fall on their face before the Lord and say, God, it is me, a sinner, on my way to a devil's hell. Would you have mercy on me? I've told you before and I'll tell you again. If you're saved, you know what you got in your life? You got a place where you met the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word spoke to you and it changed your life forever. I'm breaking this level up here on the front row. This is how simple salvation is. There's a day in your life, not what mama said you were saying, not what daddy tried to convince you you were saying, not what the Sunday school teacher tried to talk you into it, but there is a day in your life where you met the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word, and at that day you called out on Him in that place, and God changed your life forever. You want to know whether you're saved? Where's the place you met God and He changed your life forever, amen. As a 21-year-old punk, lost without God, on my way to a devil's hell, came to the house of God, the man of God took revelation and told me about a great white throne judgment, said, boy, that's where you're heading if you don't get saved. And about right here in this used to be office, I knelt before the Lord, and God changed my life forever, amen. I got put in Christ. I didn't come join the church. They didn't baptize me. I baptized me. I didn't shake the preacher's hand and make it right. I cried out for mercy and God saved my soul. He changed my life. I walked out where there used to be double doors right there and the sun shined different, man.
Amen.
The birds sound different. The trees look greener. I don't know what that was. I didn't understand what was going on. But there was a God that created the universe that moved inside of me, that changed the way I look, that changed the what I hear. There was a God inside that was real, amen. There's a place where I met Him and He changed my life. You say, how's that work? Hey, what about that woman at the well? Hey, lady, where'd you get it? When she went into the city and told a man, come see a man that told me all things. You know what she can do? Hey, lady, what are you talking about? You know what she'd say? I was down at that well. And Jesus Christ showed up. I heeded what He told me out of His mouth, which is His Word, and He changed my life. Hey, you got, should we stand up and have testimony? She'd be the first one to stand up and say, I remember when I was by Jacob's well, trying to do religious things, trying to stay away from that crowd that I didn't like, and they didn't like me, because I wasn't that kind of woman that ought to be going to church. But glory be to God, Jesus passed by my way, because He said He must needs to go through Samaria, and I had no clue that He was doing it. I had no clue what He was doing on that side when I was on this side, but I'm glad He came to where I was and met me and changed my life. She said, I know where I was, and I know what He did. Come see a man. Come see a man. Blind Bartimaeus. Say, Blind Bartimaeus, where'd you get saved? Well, I remember that day Mama took me down and christened me. Hey, what did He say? You know what He say? I was sitting by the wayside, an old blind man, begging, amen, for alms every day. Had no hope, going through the regular routine of life, man. And I heard Jesus was coming by. And when I heard He was coming by, I done heard the stories of what He can do. Maybe you were right there. You heard what He had done all your life. But one day it got real to you. Oh, blind Bartimaeus cried out by the wayside. I sat over there on that side of the street. And Jesus came by and touched my eyes and opened them up. Now I see, amen. You know what He can tell you? I got a place where I met Him. Ain't nobody going to talk me out of it, man. I know where I was. Well, He came, and you know what He did? He literally changed His life.
Amen.
That old boy said, man, I had some people to care for me one day. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't even literally walk on my feet. And there was four friends that come by and told me there was a revival going on down there, and Jesus was preaching. And out of all four of them, one of them got a corner of the cot and brought me down there to where Jesus was preaching. Oh, they cared enough to try to get me under the Word of God. And when we got there, it was so crowded. It had been noised abroad that He was in the house and things were going on. And old boys cared so much for me that I needed to get in there where I can hear Him. And they picked me up and went up a little bit further than just a normal person. They not only picked me up and brought me down to church, they wanted to make sure I was hearing what I should have been hearing. They climbed up on an old roof They begin to tear the tiles off. Jesus is in there preaching. Things begin to fall in. Everybody's thinking, what in the world's going on? About that time, they dropped him down in the middle of the service. He said, I was brought in by my friends. I went in on their compassion. I went on their concern and on their faith. But I sat there and said, been laid on my bed before the Lord Jesus. He said, take up your bed and walk, boy. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And I'm going to tell you one thing, in that church service, I don't know what anybody else got that day, but I'm telling you, I got changed. I got saved. God changed my life. Amen. I know where I was. Well, He changed my life. And you can take them one after another all through your Bible. You don't know whether you're saved. There's a place in your life where you met Him and He changed your life forever. It might have been beside your bed. It might have been in your car. It might have been in the thousands of miles in the air in an airplane. And the Word of God pricked your heart. I don't care where you was, but if you were born again, there is a place where you met God and His Word spoke to you and changed your life. You know what to change your life? Salvation.
Amen.
And if you got a place like that, and the devil comes and jumps on your shoulder and says you ain't saved, and try to cause you to doubt what God's done, you take him back over there and tell him where God got you. You tell him where you was, and remind that old devil to get thee behind thee, and take the assurance of your salvation, and go on and serve the Lord, because God has changed your life. Amen. Amen. Salvation will change your life. You know what else I know will change your life? The Scriptures laying in your lap.
Amen.
That old book right there will change your life. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible said we walk by faith and not by what?
Sight.
He said, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, who that he is, me and you, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm telling you, the Scriptures will change your life. Old timers say, hey man, sin will keep you from that book, or that book will keep you from sin. I'm telling you, the Word of God will change your life. It'll fake straighten out your mind. It'll fix the way you think. It'll change the way you live. I'm talking about things that I know that will change your life. Amen. Why in the world do you think the devil attacks so hard to keep people lost? Because he knows it will change the life of a sinner. That's why it comes to blind the minds that end up believing not. Why in the world do you think the devil fights so hard to change the Word of God? Because he knows that book will change your life. I'm talking about things that will change you. I said, preacher, I need a better change. I need some help over the influence of the devils in my life. Hey, first of all, make sure you say. Hey, number two, get you a Bible, a King James Bible, and pick that thing up and read it every day in your life. That thing will change your life. It began to mold the way you think. It's like the brother said this morning in Sunday school. And by the way, I've always stressed the importance of it even before I was a pastor. And one of the most important services of your life is the Sunday school hour where you can get into the teaching of the Word of God as a child of God and get grown up in the faith and get nourished up in strength. Show up at the house of God for Sunday school. It'll feed your soul. Amen. You know what that book will do? It'll start feeding you. And the brother said this morning, he said the Holy Spirit can only use what you put in some way or manner. He said that. And I've always said it like this. That old mind's like a computer. And you can't bring nothing up unless it's ever been downloaded. And if you'll download that Word of God in your mind and in your heart, the Holy Ghost of God can bring up what's been downloaded and give you strength when you need it and give you encouragement when you need it and give you a little chastening and correction and chastisement when you need it. I'm talking about things I know will change your life. Don't let the devil destroy you of the assurance of your salvation and never let him take your Bible. Hey, stay in the Word of God. It'll change your life. Amen. That's why we preach it. That's why we stand on it. That's why we encourage you to get in it, because we know the Word of God changes lives. Amen. I'm talking about things that will change your life. Salvation will change your life. The Scriptures will change your life. It'll change your mind, your manners. It'll change the music you listen to. Hey, you know what else will change your life? The sanctuary will change your life. The house of God. The place of worship. The church house. Amen. If you wanted to use C's, you could say conversion changed your life.
Amen.
The canon of the Word of God changed your life. You preach it however you want to. The church house will change your life. The sanctuary will change your life, man.
Amen.
You know what I've learned? Down at the house of God.
Amen.
You know what I know for a fact? And this ain't throwing stones at nobody. Every time you say anything now, people made a glass. You think you're throwing stones at everybody. That's went out in the stinking world and their lives are being destroyed. But you know what I know for a fact? You get away from church, your life will go down.
Amen.
That is the gospel truth, man.
Amen.
You start missing church, start laying out, it'll start showing on the way you live your life.
Amen.
It'll start affecting the way you think. It'll change the way you dress. It'll start changing the way you talk. It'll mess up your manners.
Right.
It'll mess up your life. You get around, you know why? The sanctuary will change your life. I think about Asaph over there in Psalm 73, one of the greatest examples over there. When he saw the prosperity of the wicked, man. It had to happen after Sunday morning at the church. He went to work Monday, and it started playing with him when he started seeing all the prosperity of the wicked, because his car broke down Monday morning after he'd been at church all day Sunday. And he thought, this is what I get out of serving God. And then he got home Monday night, and his wife told him the washing machine was broke. And then he went to work Monday morning, and everybody started talking about all the new things they bought with their money that they got, that they won for playing the lottery. And he's thinking, man, woe is me, look how bad I got it.
Yeah.
And he gets home, amen, and he's as young as he's gone crazy. And everybody wants to love God no more. And his mind just bombarding him over and over and over again. And then on Wednesday morning, he goes to work, all pooch-lipped, mad at the world, just as scared, thinking, I'm quitting. Somehow the Holy Ghost of God grabbed him by the neck and brought him down to midweek service on Wednesday night. And he sat down there in the house of God. He said, until I went out in the sanctuary, I was reminded what the Word of God said. Something started turning down in his soul. He was discouraged of everything was going on. But the Word of God started telling him about his future and their future. And he said, man, I got it better than they got it. I might not have it good down here, but I'll have it good tomorrow. My God's faithful, amen. The sanctuary will change your life. Stay in the house of God. Stay around God's people. Stay under the preaching of the Word of God. It'll change your life. I know that for a fact. It's been those old saints of God. You know, I've always had an attraction since I got saved to older people. That'll help you, man. They've learned some things. You know, I think we got one of our problems with today is this young generation, they got a pride problem. And we think we know it all. And if we get down to some old wise saints of God, those hoary-headed saints, those gray-headed ones that know a little more, has been around the ropes a little more, is exactly what Titus 2 teaches. The aged men teaching the younger men and the aged women teaching the younger women down at the house of God, they can help your life. Sit under these women. Sit under these men. I know sometimes they got a little quirky ways about them and maybe got a little smart mouth about the way they say some things. It's just, you know, everybody's different. But if you've been around this thing long enough, sooner or later there's something somebody's picked up on they can help you with. And if you're willing to look past their faults and their little attitude they got, I'm sure there's some type of wisdom down in there you can glean from them and get some help out of them. The sanctuary give you some help. Amen. I'm talking about things that'll change your life. I know they will. They'll change it. Hey, you know what I know God will change your life? The service of God. Once you get saved, you get in the Scriptures, you get in the house of God, God will start giving you something to do. You know what I know about the service of God? It will change your life. You know what God does to some people like me? That He knows that you won't be fit for nothing unless He give you responsibility to do so He'd make you do it. I ain't never been a reader. Never. When we was in school, when they read and everybody read a chapter through a paragraph, y'all remember that stuff? I'm the one like, you can skip me. Y'all read, my turn. I ain't like Brother Tim Sellers. I'll read. No, let somebody else go. You know, I got to go to the bathroom. Can I go to the bathroom?
Amen.
Try to get out money. But you know what? God takes somebody like that and He calls them to preach, give them responsibility, and make you get in the book. You know what I've learned over time, though? I enjoy it now. I enjoy it, man. I've learned to enjoy reading, getting in books, and studying. I like it, man. But you know what? God had to put me somewhere to make me like it. You think, why would He do something like that? Because that's how God works. The service of God will change your life. God, the service of God, you know what it'll do? It'll make you start digging in that book when you start soul winning. You start witnessing to everybody because you're going to run up the questions. You've got to have an answer. And it's going to cause you to go back in that book. And then they're going to reproach you because of the way you live. And then it's going to change the way you live. It's going to change the things that you do. It'll change your manners. What a service of God will. It'll clean your life up.
Amen.
You know what people think? Well, I ain't fit to be served. Surely He's not called to me. Yes, He is. And He wants to use it to help change your life. Amen. He's going to use the service of God to make you what you ought to be. Tell me God don't know what He's doing. Amen. I'm talking about things I know that will change your life. You start getting up singing. You start getting up worshiping God and doing things in the church, getting involved, getting dedicated. It will change your life. That's why a lot of people's never been much changed, because they're not involved. Because they don't want to get involved, because it comes with accountability. You know what I know the service of God will do? It'll change your life. It'll cause you to check up on things. You know what else I know will change your life? The saints of God. Do you know what? Sometimes God's children can be some of the most hateful people. Do you know sometimes we can be the most mean people in the world? Sometimes we can say things we ain't got no business putting our mouth on. And the Holy Ghost will convict us and cause us to run back and repent. But you know what I know about God's people? Even though sometimes they're hateful and sometimes they're hurtful, they're still the best people on earth. Amen. They ain't nothing like God's people. Amen. You know, I'm talking about God's children, man. Those that are born again, they have been put in my life to change my life. There are people that I look up to. There are people that some people wouldn't even think it's important that God uses to help your life. When you're going through something, God knows how to prick somebody's heart to send you a text, give you a call. I'm talking about, who does that? The same people that we say that's mean and hateful. It's God's people that are love on you, that care for you. Thank God for God's children, man. They'll change your life, man. They'll be the ones to pick you up. They're the ones praying for you. They're the ones trying to encourage you to keep going on. They change your life, man. Don't lose your love for God's children. And help encourage the saints. And dwell together in unity and praise God together and worship the Lord. It's God's children that change your life. I wouldn't be what I am today if it weren't for some of God's children. God's chosen ones that He puts in your life at the right time to give you what you need. I'm talking about things that will change your life. You know what the devil wants you to do? Listen to me. He wants you to doubt salvation because it changes your life. He wants you to doubt the Word of God and think there's something different because it changes your life. He wants to keep you away from the house of God and keep you out there chasing this world because He knows the sanctuary will change your life. You know what He wants to do? He wants to keep you away from the saints of God and make you think they're hateful and put you at odds with one another, because the devil knows that iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It is God's people that'll be there, that'll help you out, and He wants you at odds with one another. Because they're the people that'll change your life. They're the ones that really love you. They're the ones that really care. I'm talking about things I know that'll change your life. The devil wants you to get out of the service of God. He wants you to lay down the service. Why? Because the service will change your life. Let me give you a couple more. Can I give you three more real quick? You know what I know will change your life? The soon return of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know why a lot of people's lives ain't changed? They live like He ain't coming. If it ever gets down in your crawl that soon the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall... You know them lovers that we hearts are broken over is in the grave? They coming up, man. Matter of fact, the souls are in heaven, the body's getting up. Hey, man, but they going to come and meet us in the clouds with the Lord, and forever we going to be with the Lord. And He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words, the soon return of Jesus Christ will change your life. You know what God's people are living like? He ain't coming. And if you ever gets down in your call that He's coming, and I'm going to give an account of Him and stand before Him one day, you know what that'll do? That'll start changing your life. That old potter guy that comes by, David Ingolstadt, one of his great ministries is that pottery and how God can take the old rump clay and break it into something new. But you know what his primary ministry is, if you listen to him preach, what he's talking about? It's all reflected around the second coming of the Lord. It's all about the return of God. It's all about the fact that He's coming back. And He's constantly being used of the Lord to do that thing and put it before people's eyes to remind him of the coming of the Lord. Which will encourage a saint that's got a loved one that's on the other side that's kind of feeling like they need to give up. It calls us to the state to kind of check up on our lives, because we're going to give an account and stand before Him. Hey, we have forgotten the return of the Lord. Right. That's what communion's about. It's a reflection on what He has done, but it's also a reflection on what He's going to do. is constantly reminding people of God's return. He's coming back. He's coming back. When you see these things come to pass, I know there's destruction and misery and woe everywhere. He's coming back and the soon return, and that reality of the Lord will change your life. Ever gets down in your crawl that you're going to stand before the Lord, it'll change you. It'll change you. Hey, you know what else I know will change your life? The Spirit of God. That thing that God sent to convict you, to comfort you, it'll change your life. You know what that is right now knocking on your door of your heart about something you've heard today? That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know what He's trying to do? Maybe trying to help you with your assurance of your salvation. Maybe He's trying to get you to fall back in love with God's people. Maybe He's trying to get you back in the house of God where you need to be. Maybe He's trying to get you to pick that book back up you laid down. He's knocking on your door through the preaching of the Word of God. And He's trying to change your life. And if you'd listen to the Holy Ghost, and you'd be sensitive to that conviction, and that challenging, and that rebuking, it'll change your life. You know what we do? We grieve it. We quench it. The same thing that God's trying to use to change your life. You sit under the preaching of the Word of God, the Holy Ghost will pinpoint something in your life. It might be something directly out of the preacher's mouth, and it might be something indirectly, but the Holy Ghost of God knows how to take what's being said to give us what we need. It'll change your life. You know why a lot of people's lives ain't changed? They said no to the Holy Ghost. They grieved Him. And lastly, you know what it all boils down to that changes your life, which is where all of them come from? It's the Savior.
Amen.
It's Him. He said, "We're so great a cloud of witnesses laid about us." You know what He said over there in verse 2 of Hebrews 12? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know what changed our lives? It's been the Savior. You know what gave me a church? You know who gave me the saints of God? You know who sent the Holy Ghost down? You know who gave me a Bible? You know who saved my life? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Savior of the world. And He'll change your life if you'll let Him. Are you thankful for the changes? Are you allowing other influences to change you in the wrong way? Why don't you let these simple truths change your life? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. That old demonic man found his life changed.